You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are at least 150,000 children in Aotearoa living under the poverty line who come from households dependent on government assistance schemes like Working for Families, which assist low-income families with childcare and accommodation costs. However, as Susan St. John, Associate Professor in Economics at the University of Auckland Business School and spokesperson for Child Poverty Action Group, said in a recent newsroom article, there are barriers to accessing assistance in schemes aimed at supporting low-income families that are not found in those aimed at Kiwis over the age of 65, such as NZ Super. I had a chat with Susan about the state of government assistance for low-income families in Aotearoa and why she believes it's better to be old than young if you're poor in New Zealand. To start off, are low-income families able to access support easily under the Working for Families scheme?
Not particularly. Most families will be getting the family tax credit because that goes to all low-income children on the same basis, and it seems to have a very high uptake. The other part of Working for Families, called the in-work tax credit, performs the same function. It just goes to meet the needs of children, but it has different criteria. And these criteria have been softened in recent years. You used to have to work a fixed number of hours per week to qualify. They've taken that away. However, you do have to have attachment to the paid workforce and be completely free of the benefit system. So you can't have any part benefit, working part-time or anything like that. And the difficulty is that when we're in tricky times, as we are at the moment, with quite a serious recession and families are losing work, and of course there's the natural disasters as well, where families can be thrown in complete disarray and lose hours of work or lose jobs altogether, they may not realise that they're not entitled to the full Working for Families package, and if they continue to receive it, further down the track they're going to get a big bill from the Inland Revenue Department.
What kind of criteria do households need to go for to apply for Working for Families?
Well, they have to have a child, obviously, and you need to have both parents' income to determine the amount of Working for Families. So it's a fairly simple procedure in the IRD system, or if you're on a benefit, then you can get it paid through the Ministry of Social Development. If you're on a benefit, of course, you only get the family tax credit part. You don't get the in-work tax credit.
Can you tell us about why there seem to be less barriers in accessing NZ Super for Kiwis over the age of 65 than for younger households on Working for Families?
Yes, that's a really interesting question. I think overall, what we've done is we've said the older in a special category, and they can have their pension without any concerns about whether or not they're in paid work. It's completely unconditional money and it's simple to access, and it's not abated. Abated meaning that it's reduced as people get more income. So when we look at Working for Families, if parental income is over $42,700, which is an amount that's been fixed for a very long time, every extra dollar means they're entitled to 27 cents less of their Working for Families. So let's take a family at the moment that earns over $48,000 and maybe look at that extra dollar over $48,000. It's taxed at 30%, so that's a loss of 30 cents. And then there's another loss of Working for Families, 27 cents. And that's actually a real disincentive to earn that extra dollar.
Why does it seem like the government might be more lenient for, you know, retirees and people over the age of 65 than for younger families?
Well, historically, we've had politicians who've got themselves into political strife when they've tried to meddle with the state pension. Go back to 1991, where Ruth Richardson tried to change it into a welfare benefit. And there was such an outcry that they had to go back to the status quo. And politicians have some sort of implicit agreement, left and right, that somehow the pension is sacrosanct. And it applies to other aspects of what we do for older people as well. So there's universal free transport for people over 65. Sometimes there's some restrictions on the hours, but it's a very valuable universal payment, which you don't have to qualify for by filling in difficult forms and getting less of if you earn extra money. And then there's a winter energy payment that goes to all superannuitants, regardless of whether they actually need it or not. So we've had a very liberal attitude to supporting the old, and that's been quite good because at least we know that we've been reasonably successful in preventing poverty. Whether or not we can afford it in the future is another matter, but at least we've kept most older people from being in hardship. Not all, and it isn't quite as good as it used to be. But we've never really had the same commitment to protecting the young. And I find that quite surprising. And in part, I think it's because we've set up Working for Families, it's very complicated, and people don't want to get their heads around what a tax credit is. It's just a payment. And also, I think there's a lot of stigma and discrimination against beneficiaries.
Debt owed by households receiving Working for Families increased by $42 million within the past 9 months and had been increasing for the past few years. Can you tell us why that is?
Well, there's two reasons. When families earn more than they thought they were going to earn, they don't realise very often that it means that they're not entitled to as much Working for Families. So further down the track, when the IRD actually sees how much both parents have earned, they can come along and say, look, you've been overpaid. Here's a bill for $3,000, something like that. So that's one way. The other way is the way that I've talked about, which is when we're in a recession and families lose their hours of work, they can become unentitled to the in-work tax credit bit. And further down the track, when the IRD finds out, then they can get a bill for repayment, which then is a debt that they have to repay. And what we've seen is that Working for Families debt has doubled since 2018. And it's actually a really serious thing because it comes on top of a lot of other debt that families are accumulating. And so they're in a debt spiral.
Back in 2021, David Seymour said that Working for Families should be abolished entirely and that the assistance received under the scheme could be supplemented with income tax reductions. So first, I'd like to ask how you'd respond to that statement. And secondly, what do you think statements like these mean now that David Seymour and ACT are officially in our government?
Actually, it's a complete nonsense. What he's saying is that society's got no obligation to help support families when they've got young children. And when we look at other developed countries, every other developed country has got a system whereby they offer financial support when there are young children. And in New Zealand, we've got paid parental leave as well as Working for Families, and we've got subsidies for childcare. All those sorts of things are very common in the OECD. And if we were to take them away, well, to be quite honest, you would have families living in tents on the street. It would just be a third world country. So it's a complete nonsense, and he wouldn't get away with saying it nowadays.
How does New Zealand fare in comparison to other OECD countries when it comes to providing assistance for young people and families?
Well, I think we stand out as being quite unusual in that we discriminate against the poorest children. So if we look at Australia, for example, they've got a system of family tax credits, which overall are on the more generous side than New Zealand, but they don't make any distinction when a family is on a part benefit or a benefit. So the amount paid for the child is the same, and that's highly sensible. Other countries, it's quite difficult to compare, but you take countries, Scandinavian countries, of course, and they do far better in supporting young families with children than New Zealand does. We have got a very high rate of extreme poverty, deep poverty amongst families. So those families under the 40% lowest, which is the lowest poverty line, they're really in extreme hardship. And we just don't have a system that recognises how bad that problem is for society.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.